Glad to have you here this Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. Praise the Lord every day for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But it's good to have you here for the Sunday school hour. We're going to finish up our series in 2 Peter this morning. So before we have a word of prayer, why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. Then we'll have a word of prayer. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. All right, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to just have this time of Bible study. We pray that you'd bless the Sunday school downstairs, be with the teachers and the students as they open up the Word of God and go over the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that their hearts would be open and prepared for that which you have for them. We pray, Lord, for the morning worship service, that you'd be with Pastor Ethan as he preaches this morning, that you'd bless the service today in a great way. Be with the junior church also and bless the ministry there. But thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again. Thank you most of all for the salvation that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, if you notice on your handout, the opening paragraph, one day Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Amen. He's coming again. Just as today we celebrate, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate, I say this often, we shouldn't just celebrate it on Easter Sunday. We should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every day of our lives, because it's because of him that we have new life in Christ Jesus. But the emphasis this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and it's interesting, as Peter finishes this epistle, and we're going to look at a number of different things that he admonishes us as believers to keep in focus. But the emphasis is living out our lives with the expectation that Jesus is coming again, and the importance of that. We should be living with that in mind, that anticipation. So again, on your handout, with that in mind, we should be living in anticipation of his return. On the day the Lord was raised from the dead, even his closest followers seemed perplexed and confused by what had just transpired over the previous week. It's true if you read the account. For instance, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, they go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. They didn't expect that he would be resurrected from the dead. And then when the other disciples heard that he wasn't there, that he is resurrected, they didn't believe it. And yet, the reality is, if you notice, I just gave you one example on your handout, Matthew 6:21. The Lord had told them numerous times that this was going to take place. So read that verse, won't you? From, as I read it out loud, follow along. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Their expectations on resurrection morning seemed to be dashed. Again, even though Jesus had repeatedly told them what was going to happen. And I think as I thought about that, as I thought of, as we conclude this Sunday school series and what Peter's writing here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit is, I think at times we forget and we don't live in the expectation that Jesus is coming again. And we can sometimes be guilty of the same doubt, I suppose, as the apostles were dealing with on Resurrection Sunday. And I really think that the emphasis here is to remind us of that. Because if you remember from 2 Peter, chapter 1 is a very uplifting, encouraging chapter. It's dealing with our salvation, dealing with the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 is dealing with the false prophets. And there's even, he touches on it here as well. But I want you to notice a couple of things here. So we started with verse 10. The Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So in verse 10, he's talking about something that's going to happen in the future, the day of the Lord. But then notice this in verse 12. He says, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So there's two phrases there. You'll find these throughout the scriptures. There's the day of the Lord. There is the day of God. But you also will find elsewhere in the scriptures, the day of Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I don't really think the emphasis here, although these are being mentioned, are dealing so much with the day of the Lord, the day of God, and I'll give you an example with regards to the day of Christ. And real quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but when I read the scriptures, whenever I read the day of the Lord, in my mind, and this is really a whole nother lesson for a whole nother time, it is that phrase is to emphasize the judgment of God. The judgment of God. The day of the Lord. There's Sunday school handouts there for those of you that came in late. If you didn't get one, I'm going to give one to Paul. And Ken and Trina, did you get one? You got one? Okay, thank you. And then the day of God is an emphasis on eternity. But that the day of Christ is an emphasis on the return of Christ. In Luke chapter 19 is the parable of the 10 pounds. And in that parable of the 10 pounds, Jesus says to the disciples, or in the parable, he says, occupy till I come. To occupy. And we're in that occupation right now. We are occupying until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now, the very reality is, Jesus, he may return in our lifetime. I personally believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I believe he can come anytime. I believe, and I've looked through the scriptures, and I know there are different positions that different people have, but I believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And I think that's the emphasis here in 2 Peter, that we need to be living in anticipation of the return of Christ. But remember this, that whatever position anyone takes as far as the doctrine of eschatology, that's the doctrine of end things. Remember this, our hope is not in the second coming of Christ so much as it is in the Christ of the second coming. And the point of that is sometimes people can get so caught up. I really got this from my stepfather, Bob DeWolf. When he passed away, one of the things I missed the most, when we would go to Florida, Bob and I would get into these great discussions while I was there. We'd sit out on my mother's and Bob's, they had kind of like a porch that overlooked the mangroves, and you could see the ocean in the distance. And we'd have these great discussions about spiritual things. We didn't always agree. Sometimes we agreed to disagree. And sometimes we would be going at it. My mom would get, she'd get all worried, like we were having this, we were butting heads. We were, you know, there's a scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron. And it didn't take me too many years to realize that Bob was sharpening up on things before I got there, because he would bring up these topics. But it was great. I really enjoyed it. But I remember him saying one time, you know, sometimes people can get so caught up in what's going to happen. And let's be mindful of the fact, and he understood this, and I think we all understand this, we are to study the prophetic events that are coming in the future. We're to study those things. And so he said, sometimes people can get so all caught up in how we got here, and let's remember it's important to study creation and to understand what the Bible teaches about all that. But he says, we can get so caught up in the past, we can get so caught up in the future that we forget that we're here right now and there's a present time and we need to be serving the Lord. So someone said this, and I wrote it down. In fact, Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the purpose of prophetic truth is not in speculation. And I really think this really sums up this chapter. The purpose of prophetic truth is not in speculation, but in motivation. To motivate us to occupy till the Lord comes. It's to motivate us to serve the Lord. It's to motivate us to live as if Jesus is coming today. And I think we don't have much preaching with regards to that any longer, and it's too bad. We really should. But notice on your handout what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. He says this to the church in Corinth. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it seems to me that Paul writing here, and by the way, you could go through many of Paul's epistles, and it's the same idea, the idea that we're waiting for the return of Christ. He said, who also shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the other phrase. So I've mentioned the day of the Lord, the day of God, the day of Christ. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ, in my mind, is the day that Jesus returns for his bride. And that you and I should be preparing for that. Because you and I, as born-again believers, we are the bride of Christ. And we need to be living in such a way. So having said that, he makes mention of what is going to take place here in chapter 3. And I didn't read it, but in verse 9, let's just read it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so just kind of by way of review, we are reminded that one of the things that Peter emphasizes is the fact that men and women need to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to get saved. And then he goes into verses 10 and he reminds us of what's going to happen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Well, I don't want to get into all of this either, but I'll just make a couple of mentions with regards to this. The Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour. No man knows the season. But I know this, Jesus is coming again. And while some have different views of when he might be coming, there's different positions, pre-tribulation or post-tribulation or mid-tribulation or pre-wrath. I wouldn't break fellowship with any believer who had any of those different positions. But I would break fellowship with a believer that said and didn't believe that Jesus wasn't coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. And we need to live as if he's coming again. So Peter says this, Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, that'll be a wonderful time, won't it? A new heaven and a new earth. And that's a day that's coming. That's a day that's coming. And the reality is God's judgment is coming. The reality is Jesus is coming. And so then he says in verse 14, wherefore? Wherefore? So always in Scripture, when you see the word wherefore, it's bringing us back to the preceding verses. The preceding verses, the day of God, the day of the Lord, what's going to happen, a new heaven, a new earth, the judgment that is coming. Because of that, because of the promises of God, wherefore, he said, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, is reminding us to be looking for these things, keeping an eye on things. And now he gives us a number of characteristics here that you and I should think about and how we should live our lives. So let me give you these. First, he says that we need to be diligent. To be diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. To be diligent. You know, sometimes we use the phrase, have we done our due diligence? Right? I mean, have we examined things? Have we given it our best? Have we been diligent about either what we're trying to learn about, or have we been diligent about whatever we're involved with? I love this verse in the book of Joshua. I think I mentioned last Sunday morning, I've mentioned it before, that the Old Testament, Joshua is probably my favorite book in the Old Testament. But Joshua says, Joshua 22, verse 5, notice this on your handout. Look what it says. God said, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Do your due diligence with regards to the Scriptures. Do your due diligence. Be diligent about what the Word of God says. Peter reminds us of that here. He says, listen, one day the Lord's coming back. One day there's going to be, for Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. Do your due diligence, because you'll have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Be diligent in the things that you do. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll find the word diligent used in a number of different ways, but I liked it in this particular verse. This is in Proverbs. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and know, the Bible says, look well to thy herds. You know, on Sunday morning, as you all know, up until last week, as we've taken a break, but Pastor Ethan's been preaching on David and the life experience of David. And we have not yet reached that point where David is and has been anointed to be the king. But that time is coming. But God chose David. God told David that one day he would be the king. And as I read that verse in Proverbs, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, I thought about David. And before David would ever be given the responsibility of leading the nation of Israel, David had to do his due diligence taking care of the flocks. And that's what he did. And we remember in the Scriptures when David took on Goliath, and he made these comments, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but he said, you know, he said, when the lion came, he said, the Lord delivered me from the lion. And when the bear came, the Lord delivered me from the bear. And David had experience being out in the cold at night watching the flocks, and in the heat of the day, and taking his father's flocks and feeding them and making sure that they were watered and making sure that they were protected. And, you know, watching over sheep, it's not really a very exciting life. It's a very peaceful life. It's a very tranquil life, except when the bears and the lions come, or a thief might come. But he did his due diligence, whether things were exciting or whether things weren't exciting. He just did what he was asked to do. And when I think about that, there are times in our Christian lives where God just seems to be everywhere. There are other times when you're just going through the norm, the routines of life. It's important that we are just diligent in following the Scriptures and being the kind of servant that the Lord wants you and I to be. David was that kind of servant. And so as we live our lives here in anticipation of the Lord's return, it's important that we're diligent in serving Him. Be faithful in serving the Lord. But then he says this in verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him." And then he says, "In peace." In peace. Romans 12:18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Live peaceably with all men. Now, the Scriptures teach us that, number one, we really have to have peace with God. Peace with God comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Peace with God. Today is all about that. Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and conquering death. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. We'll place our faith and we'll place our trust in Him. And that's how we have peace with God. Before you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we were at enmity with God. Sin separated us from God. Sin came between us and having peace with God. And what a wonderful truth that God sent His Son into the world to save sinners. God sent His Son into the world personally for you. That's kind of hard sometimes for us to comprehend. But God sent His Son personally for you. Knows all about you. Knows your very thoughts. Knows the number of hairs upon your head. Knows your comings. Knows your goings. Yet God sent His Son into the world just for you. It's an awesome thought and an awesome fact. Don't ever lose track of that. So you and I think we understand this morning that that's how we have peace with God when we receive Christ as the Savior and the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all sin. And all over the world today, people will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but sometimes I wonder if they'll miss the real point of it. For some, it's just going to be a tradition. For some, they'll attend church maybe they're one or only two times a year because it's Easter Sunday. But Jesus died for your sins personally. And that's how we have peace with God. But then as we go through life, we're admonished to enjoy the peace of God. And as we live our lives here, that peace of God dwells in our hearts. Just take your Bibles, go back to probably my favorite epistle. Go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. I love the book of Philippians because the idea of the joy of the Lord and rejoicing is found all through it. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes and he says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious. Be at peace in the Lord. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Well, that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, that we can depend upon the peace of God. You know, yesterday morning we had a great prayer meeting here at the church, and we prayed for a number of different things. And we had a good group of men, a good group of young men that were here. But we were reminded, we prayed for what's going on in Myanmar and all the unrest there. And what's taking place in Myanmar is things like that are taking place elsewhere in the world. And while you and I, here we are, enjoying this morning free and not worried about someone coming through the door and disrupting our service, or there are places in the world that Christians have to meet secretly. Places in China and in North Korea and places in the Middle East. And they're under tremendous pressure and tremendous persecution. And yet sometimes it's in those situations where they have more peace than many times Western Christians have. And so we praise the Lord for the peace that God can give us. Our brother Dennis is recovering from his surgery. Dennis showed me the pictures of his spine prior to his surgery, and there were three spots on his spine where everything was just crushing in. One really very close, and then the two others that were closing in, and that's what he had the surgery on. And he was concerned. I mean, there was a chance that that surgery would not be successful. When the first time I talked to him and said, "How'd it go?" He says, "I'm not paralyzed," because they told him there was a slight chance. One doctor told him there was more than a slight chance he could end up in paralysis, which is kind of amazing. The other doctor kind of said it was more of a very, very slight chance. But he was concerned. Anybody would be concerned. And he was so thankful, he said, for he could sense, he could just feel the prayers of the church, you, praying for Dennis. And he was so thankful for that. And maybe you've been through a situation like that, uncertainty, not knowing what tomorrow holds, not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring. And yet, the Lord gives us peace. He gives us peace. And Peter writing here saying, listen, there are things going to happen. But live in anticipation that Jesus is coming again. You read 1 Thessalonians. Some of the Thessalonians thought that they had missed the return of Christ. And Paul has to assure them that that's not the case. They were under tremendous persecution there. Those that worked for the labor unions in Thessalonica, they were losing their jobs because they would not show their allegiance to the idols. They turned away from what Paul wrote as dumb idols to serve the one true living God. And they found themselves out of work. And think of you that are dads. Think of the fact, or moms. Think of the fact that you have children at home. And you have to provide for them. And you have to put food on the table. And you have bills to pay. Well, it was no different some 2,000 years ago than it is today. But yet they were comforted by the scriptures. And, so many of the hymns, I have peace like a river, peace of God. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. We've just, let's hope and pray. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but let's hope and pray where it looks like we're coming out of this pandemic. It's been a difficult time for a lot of people. A lot of people have lost loved ones. A lot of people have died. Think of our brother, Jerry Collins. He lost his wife from the pandemic. And there's Jerry out in California, been a missionary most of his adult life. He and his wife were in Mexico starting churches, being used of the Lord. God called him to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He pastors a large Spanish congregation in that church. And Marty comes down with COVID. She's in the hospital. I'm sure there were multitudes of people, including us here, praying for her. But the Lord took her home. Only the peace of God can get a husband through that. Only the peace of God can get his children through that. And thousands of people have died this year. Thousands of people die every year. And it's the peace of God that gets us through all of that. So there's different things that come along our way. And Peter reminds us, listen, in light of what's coming, in light of what's coming. You can go back to 2 Peter. By the way, and he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, in light of the fact that we're going to live in eternity and that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, waiting for us in heaven, listen, just live a diligent life. Be diligent to the scriptures. Live a life and experience the peace of God in your life. Whatever the pressure seems to be. And then he says in verse 14, be without spot. Be without spot. We need to examine our lives in the mirror of God's word. We should do that every day. Just as that all of you, I trust this morning, it looks from looking out at you, it looks like you all looked in the mirror this morning and prepared yourself for coming out in public. Though Adam, he's not wearing any socks. I said, you forgot your socks this morning. He's fashion forward, he tells me. I will have to admit that Adam got me pretty good yesterday morning. Sometimes he would wear this sweater. I think it's green. Is it green? Is that sweater? And I would give him a hard time. It's like a button-down sweater, you know. And he found a picture of me in a sweater exactly like that, only it was red. All I can say is you have good taste. That's all I can say. But look in James reminds us to look into God's word and to be mindful of that and let the word of God examine yourself in the word of God. In fact, just go ahead quickly, go back to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And look at verse 23. These are familiar verses, but remember one of the themes of 2 Peter is Peter says, I'll always put you in remembrance of these things. So don't ever think that, oh, these are just familiar scriptures. No, no, no. The scriptures are really to be new and fresh every morning. For if any, verse 23, be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It's a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Remember what Joshua said? Take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's get into the word of God regularly. Let it expose the spots that are in your life that need to be taken care of. This past winter, I dry cleaned all of these pews. And there were spots on them, still are spots on them. But I just kind of diligently went through and tried to get as many of the spots off and kind of freshen them up and just kind of examine them. Well, that's what the Word of God does in our lives. That's what preaching does in our lives. That's what the teaching of God's Word, our devotional time. Your handout, Ephesians chapter 5, this word spot is used here. In fact, you'll find the word spot actually quite a bit in the Bible. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And Peter, in 2 Peter, reminds us, listen, in anticipation of what's coming, live without spot. Examine your lives. Confess your sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There'll be different times in our lives and different things will cross our path that we may struggle with, we may have to deal with. Things that we thought, oh, we'd never struggle with this. And yet, all of a sudden, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you have to deal with it. Look at David. We haven't reached this point in David's life, but there's David. A man who walked with God, a man who God used mightily, a man who God anointed to be king, and David sins with Bathsheba. So don't ever, wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he should fall. Don't ever think you've reached the point where sin can't creep into your life. And Peter reminds us here, live your life without spot. And thankful for my wife. Every now and then I spill something. Ah, I ruined this shirt. No, no, she says, I can take care of that. And she has whatever she does to get the spot out of the shirt. And she says to me sometimes, I shouldn't say, now you're eating like an old man. You just get the food in your mouth. When I had a beard, I used to tell my kids, I'm just saving it for later. So anyway, I better move on. Then in verse 14, he says, live a blameless life. Live a blameless life. Wiersbe said this too in a commentary I was reading on this. It's not the action, but it's the reaction that gets us into trouble. It's not always the action, our actions, but it's our reaction to something in our lives that gets us into trouble. Think of Peter, you know, and here this morning we're celebrating the resurrection, but 3 days prior to that, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Not only did Peter deny the Lord, but the scriptures clearly teach that all of the apostles, they all denied the Lord. Here they had walked and they had seen him heal the blind and heal the deaf, and they'd seen the lame walk. They had seen Jesus raise the dead. But when the pressure came, they denied him. They denied him. It was his reaction to what was taking place. Paul says in Philippians that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, some things never change. Most nations have been crooked and they've been perverse, even in the best of times. But here, the reference, I think Paul is referring to what was taking place in Israel at the time. But what was true then is true today. We just need to be blameless. Then he went on and said, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the world. You know, Peter, I was reading in Galatians this morning, and I was reminded of the fact that Paul had to rebuke Peter. It was years later. And if you remember what Paul rebuked him for is the fact that when Peter was with the Jews, he was favoring them. And then, the Gentiles, he was fellowshipping with them. And then when Jews came, he kind of separated from the Gentiles and he kind of favored the Jews. And Paul had to rebuke him for that. He was to be put to blame. And he had to correct Peter. So just check our lives as we anticipate the return of Christ. Be blameless. Be steadfast, verse 17. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Well, why? Because the Lord's coming again. Be steadfast. The Lord's coming again. That's a military term. It means to hold the line. It's the same. Sometimes it's the phrase of stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the things of God. Be steadfast. Hold the line. Hold the line. And we're running out of time. I'm just kind of moving through these quickly. Let me just finish with, in verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. We should always be growing in the Lord. Don't allow yourself to become stagnant. Don't allow yourself to stop learning. Grow in His grace. I was reading in Hosea chapter 14. It's a beautiful chapter. In fact, go ahead, let's just finish in Hosea chapter 14, the Old Testament. It's a beautiful chapter. I've read through it several times this week. It's dealing with a backsliding nation. Hosea chapter 14. If you're having a hard time finding it, find the book of Daniel and then move forward from Daniel. Look what it says here. You know, Easter Sunday, it's a good day just to, you know, I always hate just pointing out one particular day, because I really do believe that every day is like Resurrection Day. So sometimes, I just think these truths are good for every day. But often people on Easter Sunday, they kind of rethink things, maybe even rededicate their lives to serving the Lord. And look what it says here in Hosea. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. These are wonderful truths here. It's just the Lord reminding them, put your focus just on me. And don't be trusting in other things or other people. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots in Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and they shall grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. And so I just point out again, verse 7. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as corn and grow as the vine. It's a beautiful time of year here in our area of the country because we're transitioning from winter to spring. And it's different in my house than here. I noticed coming in this morning that the grass is beginning to turn green in North Adams. So it'll be a couple more weeks up in the mountains. But there's buds on the trees and everything's about to sprout and to grow. It's a beautiful time of year. A little stream across my road in another 3 or 4 weeks, all of a sudden these green shoots will come up and everything else will still be gray, but everything will begin to come to life. Everything will grow. Well, as we live our lives here and we occupy for the Lord, our lives, if we'll endeavor, if we'll be diligent to grow in the Lord, we'll thrive. We'll just see the Lord's handiwork in our lives. And our branches shall spread. And his beauty will be real in our lives. And I think we need to be reminded of that. And I think Peter, as he finishes up in 2 Peter, he's reminding of those Christians that are reading that, listen, be diligent, grow in the Lord, grow in grace. And that can be a challenge sometimes. But we need to grow in the Lord because the Lord Jesus is coming again. And when he returns or when he calls us home, we should all endeavor to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, bless the morning worship service. Let